We've had 8 weeks of intense messages. Been fervently urging everyone to embrace the fire of God that burns away the chaff from our hearts and lives for many weeks, about 8 weeks, I think. And God has been testifying with wonders, folks. We've been telling people, the earth has nothing you desire besides the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. And if God's Spirit is in you, that's true of you. And then you saw, that's a way of liberty for the people of Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico. That if you can be in harmony with God's Word, that I'm good to go because I have you, Lord. I'm saying it's been a very intense 8 weeks preaching things. I don't really like preaching the whole, you know, disasters come in to help you let go of what doesn't really matter so that you can take a hold of for the rest of your eternity what does really matter.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. It took shaking for me for that to happen. And so sometimes I have to tell people, only following Jesus. Here comes some shaking for you. And it's intense. It's for real. I've been sharing about the great sins of America, sins in the world, the great rebellion going on, the mocking going on, the straying going on, even in the church, the bride of Christ being like a wild whore, chasing after her own desires, running away from Jesus, and all these different things. And you've heard that these sins deserve God's sudden and severe wrath. There's no doubt about it. This is one of the things the Lord made me a witness of before I began ministering here in Michigan City, North Dakota, that any sin deserves death immediately. Look, I didn't make that stuff up when I'm sharing this stuff with you. That's in the Scripture. The penalty for sin is death. That's in the Bible. And in recent weeks, you've heard me sharing how the Lord gathered me to Himself and revealed that to me, His living Word, you might say. The penalty for sin is death. In all truth and honesty, it's not like, oh, you sinned, I'll get around to you next week for your penalty of death. Any sin demands death immediately because it's so offensive to God's pure majesty. So, it's just not even any words. So offensive. It mocks Him and His righteousness. So you've heard that the penalty for sin is death. And today we celebrate blood has been shed on the altar for you. On the very altar of God, a price has been paid for you and me. The blood of the Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. And we want to celebrate that today. The payment for our sins. And then with that, I want you to get a hold of, with the payment for your sins, you have a brand new beginning. And I've sensed, as I've been preparing to deliver God's Word today, a shift. We've gone through weeks of intensity, and now I'm relaying to you, go ahead and celebrate that the penalty that's due you has been paid. It was not a cheap price.
Yeah.
Jesus became sin. He took your sin away, took it upon Himself. This was disgusting to God the Father. He poured His wrath out on your sin that Jesus had taken away from you and taken upon Himself. God the Father poured His wrath on Jesus, your sin. And God's wrath was satisfied. And this was so that through Jesus' work, you could become innocent. You could become brand new. You could become the righteousness of God through Christ and His work. And we should be celebrating this all the time. But I tell you, after the recent 8 weeks, I'm getting a nice new freshness in this message. Thank you that, and I want you to understand, don't just hear it in your mind, think about it for a moment. In the courts of heaven where I witnessed myself all that mocking going on, your sin and mine. In the courts of heaven, an altar being there and blood being shed to satisfy the just, severe wrath of God on that sin, the death penalty. You've been liberated from death by Jesus' work. The price has been paid. Look at all your sins written down there. Do you see any? No. And for the microphone, I'm holding up blank pages for people to look at. There's how many sins are on record for you. None. Blank pages. And as we move into the new of God that He has for us, this too is like your future. And we'll look at some scripture about that, okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. We were there recently. When you look at those blank pages, I hope you wonder, what's God going to write on there? You know, I hope you are in wonder, in awe. Wow, there's no sins there. That's my past, present, and future. Scripture says we're like letters from God to the earth. And as we give ourselves to Him, He's authoring our story, if you will, which is really going to turn out to be the story of redemption available to all mankind through Christ. Hallelujah. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, I've marked verses 5 through 8. Again, we see from recent weeks when Isaiah verbalized the truth. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When he admitted the truth that he needed saving. And that, I think, has some of the purpose with the last 8 weeks, as the Spirit of God was coming, even through Susan, stomping her foot and giving a ration to the church, and this message, everyone will be salted by fire. Please embrace the fire of God in your life. Part of when that yoke of repentance comes, folks, is for us to not deny the truth. It's for us to admit the truth. Woe is me. Woe is all of America. Woe are all of us. Woe to us all. We're so offensive compared to God's purity. When that yoke of repentance comes, it's the Spirit of purity. Jesus comes. Our eyes should be open. We should not be making excuses why it's okay to whine any longer. Why it's okay to insist on our own way any longer. We want to admit, oh man, I'm ruined. And when we do that, look what happened in Scripture. Verse 6, then one of the angels, one of the seraphs, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Verse 7, with it he touched my mouth, representing the heart, because Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, stuff comes out of your mouth. He touched my mouth and said, see, this touched your lips, again representing the heart, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And that's why I held up to you the blank pages. Look, here's all your guilt. And it was blank pages. There was no guilt. This is huge what's happened. Your guilt is taken away. The death penalty has been paid. The blood of the Lamb has done it. Hallelujah! And when you get a hold of that, when God's Spirit is working in you, God's not going to count your sins against you. Why? Because they're not recorded anymore. They've been wiped away. Part of the only reasonable response we see here in the next verse. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. So part of our response is to go and tell others, God forgave my sins. Yeah. God wiped my slate clean. Yeah. God paid my death penalty for me. That's part of our response to the wonder of what God has done. And God's counting on us to do our part. If we're not out, if we're not yielding to the truth and accepting the gift of forgiveness and then out there telling others about the same, then crimes are going on that you are held accountable for because you're not doing your part of accepting the forgiveness, of walking in the forgiveness, of telling others about what God has done for you. And I'm not hearing any excuse about, well, I don't like to talk to strangers and this and that. No, if this wonder is real inside of you, ain't nothing going to stop you from telling others. Let it be real. Walk in it. And I told you last week, this hot coal is a typology of Christ. He does come to burn away chaff. We heard in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, flames of fire was seen resting upon the heads of people. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and God has shown Susan, and I can say I because we're one, has shown us that this is the case today. Everybody who's received God's Spirit, everybody who's put their confidence in the truth that Jesus died for them, was dead and buried, that God the Father raised Him to new life so that you and I could live in Christ's new life by His Spirit. You have a flame dancing around, a beautiful flame dancing around on your head. Amen. I understand this sounds crazy. Call me Pentecostal if you want, but I'm going to do what God told me to do. Testify. Witness to the truth.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus is this typology to the hot coal that purifies your hearts. And Hebrews 10:14 says, by His one sacrifice, He shed the blood for you. It's done once and for all. While you're being made holy. So again, we see it's done once and for all. And then we have the fire of God upon us to make us holy. To continually work in us. And there's seasons to rest and be still and relax. And there's seasons to get busy with repentance. There's different seasons as God's Spirit is having His way. I'm turning to 1 John chapter 2 as I talk about that hot coal being a typology of Jesus cleansing us and purifying us. 1 John, in the back of the Bible, chapter 2, verse 2. Now imagine if I hadn't been up here ranting and raving and slobbering for 8 weeks about how terrible sin is and how the natural consequence of that is the earth falling apart. If I hadn't been preaching that for the last 8 weeks, and then I read this passage to you, verse 2 of 1 John chapter 2, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm saying if you don't understand the gravity of what's been done, then I read a passage about forgiveness, you're like, yeah, whatever. Thanks, Jesus. But if you understand that these earthquakes we've been having, these hurricanes that we've been having, the earth is groaning. It's in bondage to decay, the Bible says. Doomed. And the Bible says the earth is eagerly awaiting for the sons of God. People who are controlled by God's Spirit. Not the babies of God. Not the whiners of God. The earth is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed to liberate it from its doom. This is so powerful. So as you and I respond to the yoke of repentance, as we respond to the fire of God, sons of God are being revealed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be on earth. It is on earth as it is in heaven. The Scripture says we've already been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We're not under the funk and the heap and the ruins of the earth. We've been raised above all that in Christ, and we're seated in the heavenly realms above it all. So as we walk in our redemption, controlled by the Holy Ghost, we're crowning Christ King, letting Him be the governor of our lives instead of our own wants. Letting Him be the governor of our lives instead of our perceived needs or problems or other people's ugliness or disasters. That's the sons of God being revealed. And it's mysterious. I don't know exactly how it works, but I put my confidence in what the Word of God says. As the sons of God are being revealed in the earth is being liberated from its bondage to doom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, the blood of Abel cried out for justice. How much more aborted babies, raped women, all the different crimes going on. And we just heard, when you get a hold of how huge the gravity of sin, how terrible it is, that it's actually not only destroying humans in the earth, but causing the earth to quake. As the earth is crying out for justice, make this stop. Get these parasites off of me that are killing me. Talking about sin.
Yeah.
And Christ has come to do that. And as you and I accept the forgiveness of sin and walk that out and tell others, the sons of God are being revealed. The daughters of God are being revealed. And the earth is being liberated from its bondage to decay. So we don't have to have the earthquakes. Don't have to have the hurricanes and all the other disasters. Don't have to have them. Don't want to sit around when they're going on saying, thank you, it means God's coming today. He's been pouring out His Spirit. He's looking for people to yield to His Spirit. So I share with you then that this is an awesome verse. Christ is the atoning sacrifice. He was the substitute. He took your place. He took my place. He paid the price. Another version says, Jesus is the one who turns aside God's wrath, taking away our sins. And not only our sins, but also the sins of the world. Hallelujah. And again, if you don't have an appreciation for how terrible sin is, you won't have an appreciation for how wondrous the work of Christ has been that's liberated us. So God help us with that. Because we're supposed to live lives of thanksgiving. We're in awe of what God has done. The Bible says, in view of God's mercies, offer your life a living sacrifice, all that you are, all that you have, all that you want. Give it up to God as a thank offering for what He's done. Are you hearing me? Are you with me? Micah chapter 7. Praise You, Lord. And so if you give up your life, a living sacrifice, everything you want, everything you care about, all I want is You, Jesus. Folks, you're able then, you're empowered then to go through the storms of life, to go through the transitions of life, to go through the shakings of life without being moved. You've already let go of everything.
Yeah.
You've not attached your heart to the things of this world. You've set your heart on Christ, the rock that can't be shaken. And you're there in Him. You can't be shaken because you got what you want. Christ, hallelujah. And I'm here as a witness. You know, I'm 14 years old in the Lord this month to say, having a relationship with God is good. Having Him with you, I've been through some stuff. I have been moved. And those kinds of things. But it's amazing to have Christ the Rock with me. At my side, always there. If I'm straying or seeking or whatever, He's always nearby, wooing me to Himself. His Spirit influencing me to just admit it. God is good. And there's freedom in doing that. Lord, You are good. I don't understand what's going on, but I know You are good. And whatever's going on, You're working it all out together for my good because I love You. And I love You because You love me first.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I seek You because You seek me first. I honor You because You've honored me with Your salvation first.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Micah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. And now what we're doing is beginning to fill in the pages on those blank pages. Let your flock feed in Bashan, which represents wealth, and Gilead. Folks, Gilead represents heaps of testimonies. Would you like to live within heaps of testimonies? Glory to God. God did this for me. God did that for me. I had a need and bam, it was fulfilled in abundance. This is filling in the pages of your blank slate, the blank pages of your future, which is a letter to the earth from God. Your life is a letter to the earth from God, a love letter that glorifies Christ's redemption. Let them feed in Bashan wealth. Let them feed in heaps of testimonies, as in days of long ago. And God answers in verse 15. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them My wonders. God will show you His wonders. You're accepting this blank slate. You've given God your life a living sacrifice. Everybody look up here again. Because God had us preach in the last 8 weeks, the earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. And if you felt that was true or not, you admitted it. You believed it because God's Spirit is in me, because God's not a liar. I believe that. You've given God your life, a living sacrifice, a blank slate, and then your life becomes a love letter from God written to for others to read, as we'll see in Scripture. And God says, I'm going to start filling it in with you feeding on wealth, with you having heaps of testimonies of My activity in your life. I'm going to start filling it in with wonders. I will make your opponents wonder. They'll be in wonder. They'll be in awe of the acts of God in your life. Like when I brought the Israelites out of Egypt. How's that sound? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And you yourself will wonder when you see the opposition split in two so you can move forward. God's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's doing this. I'll go down to halfway through verse 17. Even your enemies will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God. How about that? You giving up everything to God will work for their salvation. This says they will turn in fear to the Lord our God and they will be afraid of you. This is part of your inheritance in Christ. That people revere you because they're recognizing you are holy to the Lord. You are God's treasured possession. That's a fruit of you fearing God, which we've been preaching the last 8 weeks. Fear the Lord. Let His Word, let His Spirit influence you. And one of the outworkings of that is others will revere you. They will respect you. They will be in awe of you because you're God's handiwork. I don't think you're going to get the one without the other. You can't go around mocking God and want everybody to respect you.
That's right.
It's not that you're laboring to be respected. No, it's effortless. All I want is You, Lord. You are good to me. I need more of You. I love You, Lord. You're fellowshipping with God. And part of the outworking of that is you will be revered, just like your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. It goes on. Who is a God like You? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance. You do not stay angry forever. Look at that. But delight to show mercy. I know in the last 8 weeks I've been praying to God and begging for mercy and saying, oh, I'm just dirt. I'm ruined in this and that. Look, it's good to take our attention off of ourselves and look at the nature and the character of God. He says, I'm so glad you're admitting your faults. I'm so glad you're being accountable and taking accountability. That if you be in any misery, it ain't my fault, says the Lord. If you're in misery, it's because of your own poor choices. And then you see the nature and character of God here who says, and I delight to show you mercy. And I'm saying, oftentimes that mercy ain't coming without you taking accountability first. We just went through a season of taking accountability. Not only for our own sins, but the sins of America and the sins of the world. Even we took accountability for earthquakes and hurricanes. How many churches are doing that? I shared with you in recent weeks that the churches in Texas and in Florida, they told the storms to go away. And then when they didn't, there was no accountability. They were boasting. I'm like, you better take accountability. If you had saltiness and potency in you, the storms would have turned away. Because the church is to be like a covering, potent and powerful in the earth. Hallelujah. But taking that accountability, God delights to show. I'm glad you see things my way. If you confess your sins, that is, speak with, in agreement, in harmony with what God sees and says, He is faithful and just, the penalty's been paid, to forgive your sin and wash you clean of all unrighteousness. Wash you clean of all unrighteousness. You look at the logs of things held against you and behold, nothing is being held against you. He will not count your sins against you. He will not store up wrath against you. Through you confessing, through you admitting the truth. So the storms didn't turn away. We took responsibility for that. I am God's ambassador by His will. I am a representative of God. God is in me. Almighty God is in you. And if we're not manifesting the power of God to stop destruction and liberate the earth from its troubles, we better take accountability for that. And by the grace of God, we have. The spirit of repentance has been here. We've been repenting. God's Spirit working in us. And He's come to liberate us. He's come to relieve us. He's come to say, good job. Let's move forward. God's come to say, good job. Let's move forward. I'll just warn you, the human tendency is to begin suggesting to God what moving forward is going to look like. Not a good idea. No, we keep giving Him a blank page. Keep giving Him blank pages to write upon.
Yeah.
Keep wanting Him. Don't define your desires. Even let Him do that. He says He'll give you the desires of your heart if you delight in Him. You got your part. Delight in Him. That costs giving up your own desires.
Yeah.
He is good. This passage goes on. He delights to show mercy. Verse 19. You again have compassion on us. You tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities, that's the deep down crooked wicked things, into the depths of the sea. In other words, He does away with them, folks. He's not holding them against you. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. And Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3, says Jesus became the curse, so the blessing of God, the blessing even that was upon Abraham, would come upon you. So here when it says he's going to be true to Abraham, it's God being faithful to himself. He made a promise to Abraham, and through Christ you're in Abraham's line. Do you understand that? Are you receiving that the slate has been cleaned? Are you receiving that God has begun to... He's drawn out boundaries for your coming weeks, months, and years. The enemy may come, but he'll only come this far. I won't let him come too close. He's writing the story, folks. When the adversary lifts his head, it's so that you can step on the adversary's head. Not moan and whine and get beat down by the adversary. This shows off your victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? God's writing a love letter using your life, your times, your circumstances. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Thank you, God. This is your church, husband. So if you get a hold of God's wrath has been satisfied, He's not angry. Jesus paid the price. You can start to understand the Spirit of God is working in you to say, wow, He must going to be writing good things on those blank pages. Right, because His intentions are good towards you and me.
Yeah.
I have good plans for you to prosper you, to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. And we just read a passage to help us imagine with a little more clarity what it's going to look like, what He's writing. And I'm saying, let's don't tell God the specifics. On such and such a date, you're going to do this for me. And if you don't do this for me on such and such a date, then I'll doubt your love. Oh, listen, God has brought us so far on purpose. Do not backslide. Do not be lazy. We heard just last week, crack the whip on yourself if you need to. Paul said, I beat my body so I don't disqualify myself for the prize. We heard last week, catch the foxes and be violent with them too. Let's don't be sloppy. He brought us this far on purpose to bring us further yet. You don't want to backslide. Isaiah 43 verse 25, God says, I. And then He says, even I. So God says, I. And then He says, wait, stop everything. I just said I, and I'm saying it again. Even I, the Lord Almighty, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Hallelujah. This blots out in the original text, folks, is erase. It was the penalty paid, the price for you. The blood was shed for you. The price is paid, so the sin is erased. The thing that would stop God from being good to you has been erased. And here God says, and I'll remember your sins no more. And you are now like so excited about that, you begin getting a hold of, wow, I'm innocent before God. Well, let me start making my birthday wish list, man. I got all kinds. No. Listen, I think it was just this morning. It might have been yesterday morning. I was telling the Lord, I don't know which morning it was. I'm turning 50 soon. And I started thinking, what do I want for my birthday? And glory to God, after a little bit of thinking, I said, Lord, I want You and whatever You have for me. Is that so hard?
Yeah.
Come on now. And I pray, God, blow us all away with Your love to your child. I'm just saying, folks, He brought us this far. We just went through a season where He convinced us to surrender our desires and to want Him. Let's keep doing that. We want to keep seeking hard after Jesus. Proof of desire is in pursuit. If you're not manifesting pursuit each week, don't give God lip service saying you desire Him. His fire has come. If you have other desires that are taking first place in your heart and life, the Holy Spirit is helping you to burn those away. They can even be good holy desires. They can even be things God has promised you. But the truth is, in comparison, your desire for God compared to your desire for any or everything else in the earth, there should be an infinite gap. The gap is infinite. God told me He would do this. God said He's going to do that. I'm so excited. I want that. I'm giving my life so I can have those things. And You'll be glorified giving me those things, Lord. That's fine. But there still needs to be an infinite gap between all the things He can give you in the earth compared to His Spirit, His presence.
Amen.
The earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. And again, this is a reflection of the first commandment. You shall not put anything ahead of Me, says God. Desire Me. Seek Me.
Yeah.
So for my 50th birthday, my 50th year in the earth, I want you, Lord, and whatever it is you want me to have,
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
Write your love letter, Lord. I choose to praise you. And then back up to verses 16 through 19 in Isaiah 43. Because we are moving forward. And maybe in your life, maybe in my life, we see, I don't see how. I don't know how. I don't know where. And I think the picture of these blank pages is a wonderful picture because look, on those blank pages, you didn't even see any obstacles. On the blank pages, you don't even see any obstacles. Just let God write. In this passage I'm about to share with you, He says, I will make a way where it looks like there's no way.
That's it.
Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And you can have Him each and every day. You're seeking Him because you desire Him. You're praying and getting in the Word of God. That's your pursuit that proves your desire.
Yeah.
He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will take you by the hand and lead you in the way. Through impossibilities. Working wonders. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 43, 16 through 19. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, or the opposition, these people were hemmed in and about to be destroyed. And God came. He made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He split the obstacle. He drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Can you hear God? Can you hear Him scrolling on your blank pages? The things that have been tormenting you in the past, I'm going to drown. He's filling in your blank pages now. The things that have been tormenting you, the threats that were coming to kill you, they will never rise again. When I, the Lord, put them down, they will be down. They will not bother you because I love you. And you've responded to my love honorably by saying nothing in the earth compares to you, my husband, Jesus. Are y'all hearing this wonderful love affair? If you feel hemmed in, I can't go forward. It's hurting. There's this pressing behind me. They're coming to kill me. God says, this is going to be awesome. Everybody's going to see my salvation. The things that are threatening to kill you, I will drown them and they will never rise again. While I've made a way for you through the impossible. And they will fear you. Because they will see the mighty acts of God. Through your life, your living sacrifice, you're giving God room. You're letting Him write the story for you. And God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Whatever it might be, God says, don't dwell on the former things. Don't think about the past. Well, God, last time you told me to do this, I fell flat on my face. Don't dwell on the past. He says, forget about it. Turn your attention away from that. He goes, see? Verse 19. I'm doing a new thing. There's those blank pages. As you spend time with Him, He's going to be filling them out. Day to day, you're seeking Him, desiring Him, pursuing Him. The pages will be beautiful, magnificent. They'll be shining, emanating light. The Word of God alive. Through you, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And frankly, I hate it when he asks me that. What do you mean? You know I'm dumb as a rock. No, I don't perceive it. I'm just sharing my relationship with the Lord. When he says, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you tell? Don't you perceive it? And maybe a lot of people are like, yeah, I get it. I see. I'm going to get in that groove, Lord. I'm just sharing with you. Most of the time, I'm like, no, Lord. Help me see it. So I'm just saying, don't feel bad if you don't see it. If all you're seeing, all I can see is the blank pages. Maybe some of you are trying to look at the blank pages and you still see sins on there. Hey, don't do that. You're disrespecting the blood that was shed for you. You hear me? I don't care if y'all are baby rapers. If you put your confidence in the blood of the Lamb, the penalty was paid. Your page is blank. The sin is erased. Any baby rapers in here? Yeah, me either. But sin is sin, and all sin is horrible.
Horrible.
And I brought it up because, you know, we're moving along in this message, and I need you to come with me. You got the blank pages, don't you? Because you can't go any further until you understand your sins are washed away. Erased. Gone. Remembered against you no more. Again, this prompts a sense of innocence which creates an expectancy. When you understand you're the innocence of God, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. This is amazing. It's the gift of God. You're the innocence of God. Expectancy rises up in you. Well, I ought to be blessed then. That's right. You're getting it. You ought to be blessed then. You get the rewards of Jesus' suffering. The earth and the fullness thereof. The only thing God's withholding from you are the things that would destroy you.
Yeah.
So don't call him mean. He says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Again, this is God making a way where there seems like there is no way. When I worked all those years to build a life for myself and it was shaken and came down in ruins, it seemed so hopeless. And when I met God, He showed me so much hope. He said, you walk with me, son, and I'll make up for everything you lost. I'll make up for it all. And I have no idea how to get there. Except He says, I am the way. Just walk at my side.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that, and I trust God. He's going to finish what He started, and I commend it to you. You don't need to see all the specifics. He will make a way where it seems impossible. Don't limit Him. We're talking about God here.
Yeah.
Nothing's impossible with God.
Amen.
You're letting Him write your story. You're letting Him fill in the blank pages. He's making you shine in His Word. His Word shine through you. He's doing wonders. Even your enemies will begin to fear God. And they will respect you. Glory to Him. We're not going to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the Bible says, we are the clay and God is the potter. This is a very good analogy for how you're approaching this brand new beginning God has given you. Does the potter put his hand on the clay and the clay resists? You imagine how freaky that would be if the clay was possessed with a demon? The hand of the potter comes down to mold the clay. Could you imagine you're doing that? You're molding the clay and you feel the clay push back? Wouldn't that be weird? I might just tack that off and discard it and throw it away forever. Don't resist the hand of God. Hand represents power biblically. We're the clay. Let Him mold you. Let Him form you. And let Him reform you. Let Him bend you. Smash you all together. Whatever. He's the potter. We're the clay. Be the clay. The clay doesn't have a desire of its own. The clay is another wonderful analogy for being a living sacrifice. I give it all up to you. Here I am. I accept the forgiveness of sins and your power has come to form me into the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No will but Him, clay. I want your hand on me. I want your power on me. Form me as you will. And let me share with you an escape from a certain vice. As God is writing our new story, a love letter to the earth, you're giving your life a living sacrifice. There are times when your understanding becomes a vice that will hold you in place unto destruction if you let it. So what do you do? While you're wanting God and your trust, that's the word, spilled right out of me. Trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Like I told you, I have no idea how He's going to do all the things He showed me, all the things He promised me. I mustn't rely on my own understanding. And when I begin looking and thinking I see, oh, I do perceive. And I start inserting the blanks where He's not filled in the blanks for me. Now I'm relying on my own understanding. And when it doesn't work out the way I thought it should have worked out, when I thought it should have worked out, that can be crushing. It can be painful, as if I'm turning the screw on a vice on myself. Do not lean on your own understanding.
Yeah.
The way to escape the vice, the pain, the pressure of relying on your own understanding is to trust God. He is good. He is real. He is able. Don't limit Him. Trust God. He will make a way where there seems there is no way. He's writing a beautiful love letter, and your service to Him is surrender. You're serving God's pleasure by surrendering. We surrender this church to You. We surrender our lives to You. We surrender everything to You, Lord. We're retaining one thing that we can't let go of. And it's this. We choose to desire You. Because some of you are thinking, I don't want God more than everything else. Then choose to want God more than anything else. Don't let go of that choice. Work in that choice. Be earnest in that choice. Labor in that choice.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will help you. So we're clay. We're giving up everything except that. I want You. And You will get God's hand on you. Power. You will be formed into the likeness of Christ. And as that's taking place, as things are unfolding in this brand new beginning, this brand new thing God has delivered us into, hallelujah. His power will be there to form and reform. His hand will be there to write a love letter to others. A new chapter in your life has come with blank pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's very exciting. We can celebrate. We should spend some time celebrating that when the books are opened against you, there's nothing but blank pages there. Blood has been shed. The penalty's been paid for you to be innocent in God's sight. Wow!
Thank you, Lord.
Celebrate that today. We're celebrating that. Celebrate it every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I'm saying you're a love letter from God. I'm saying God has brought us into something brand new. He showed me as I was seeking Him, Lord, put Your words in my mouth. We're gathering Sunday, you know, Lord. You've called us to come together for Your pleasure, Lord. I have no idea what to say, Lord. As this message was formulating, you know what He showed me? Like, check this out. A baby is born, and you know the man or the doctor, whoever's delivering the baby, God, this is what I saw. The man had the baby, and he smacked the baby on the bottom. What happened then? Everybody knows what happens then. That baby goes, life, breath. Yes, it does cry. And I'm trying to say, God has brought us into something new. You keep surrendering. I need You. His hand, His power, His breath comes. And you will have brand new life. And it's like Jesus being born into the earth. It's the promise. It's the living Word. Your life becomes salvation to others. This is God's desire. You become a source of salvation to others through Christ Jesus. And if that's not the case, you'll be held accountable for other people's sins when you get to heaven. Is there anything in the earth that you want so much? You're willing to be accountable for other people's sins when you get to heaven? I don't think so. So you're forsaking everything to want God. And in wanting Him, I'm saying it's already happened. Something has come out. And I don't know how long is it going to be. It's time for the quote man to smack the baby on the booty and the baby breathe in life. God, this is awesome. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit we've been talking about. The days of Noah. The flood through you, believer. The flood of God's Spirit. The breath of life. You can breathe in your new life after this very moment. Your new life breathes in the Spirit of God. Can you accept this? Somebody says, well, what's it going to be like to get smacked on the booty? I don't know. But I'm like, smack me, Lord, on the booty if that's what it takes. Let the baby live. Breathe. Hallelujah. Receive, folks. Receive the breath of God. Will you? You're wanting Him? Jesus said, ask the Heavenly Father for His Spirit. He will give it to you. He's not going to give you a stone or a fish or a snake. He will give you His breath. So you receive. I'm saying God is breathing. The time has come. New things have come. And your new will be Savior to somebody else. I only have a couple more passages. Here in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, referring to anything that would stop you from seeing God, from perceiving God. You turn to the Lord. You'll be blinded no more. It goes on in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, the hand of God, the power of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Free to what? Free to worship God from your innermost place. That's worship in spirit. Free to worship the truth. Not your own desires, not your past, not the wounds, but free to worship the truth, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty to worship Jesus. Listen, there's liberty to love and to serve others. Glory to God. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect or contemplate the Lord's glory, that is, His goodness, His beauty, and we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, goodness, beauty, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We've been birthed into something brand new. I tell you, in the last 8 weeks, as we were preaching these words of repentance, I was like, man, how long is this going to go on? I don't like preaching that stuff, guys. But, you know, compared to my relationship with God, I turn away from my preferences. I'm here to serve your pleasure. God knows what He's doing. And when I was preaching all this repentance, Susan with me, you know, we weren't thinking, I can't wait for the Day of Atonement when we'll get to talk about the blood of the Lamb. No, man, it's all in. You should be all in with whatever God is saying. If He's saying repent, everything's coming to pieces because you people aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, don't think about anything else except, woe is me. And here we are. God has brought us this far to say the penalty for your not taking responsibility, the penalty for you not being accountable has been paid. I'm not going to hold it against you. This is glorious. Amen. Hallelujah. We desire You, Lord. We desire Your Spirit. We desire Your hand, Your power. Open the eyes of our heart. We're turning to You. Can you say it in your heart now? Say it out loud if you want. We're turning to You, Jesus. Today, we're turning to You. Veil of sorrow. Veil of wound. Veil of the past. Anything that would stop us from having the eyes of our hearts enlightened to see You is removed. And we contemplate Your beauty. You are God. You alone are worthy for me to want. No other want could remotely compare to You being worthy of me wanting You. I want You. Glory to God. This is wonderful. Freedom. Freedom. Hebrews chapter 13 is the close. We accept that we're raptured in the beauty of God. We're arrested. We're accosted by the beauty of God. We're caught up in the view of God. And we're changed. Hallelujah. I remember right after I met the Lord, you know, there's more stuff on the cutting room floor than's in the book. We shared so much in the original pages of the book, and most of it hit the cutting room floor. I remember when I first met the Lord, it was within like 3 months, I encountered what I thought was a rapture. Where it was Susan and I, and there were hundreds of people with us. And I forget exactly how it went. It was something like this. We were looking at the Lord coming, and we had our hands on our foreheads like, wow. And we were being literally drawn up into the city of God. And it was awesome. We were coming off the ground being lifted. And we don't have to wait for some kind of Armageddon for that to happen. It's been happening ever since He gave me the sight. And you have opportunity to do that now. Others will be looking, look at that person being lifted up. They're being drawn up to heaven. And your focus is fully on the Lord. You're just like, I don't know why the hand. Maybe some of those, like, you know, some of the hundreds of year old Italian paintings will show like a woman kind of like, you know, oh my, you know. I'm talking about, it was kind of like that. And we were all just, all, everybody were just being, ooh, lifted, man. Looking up. Whoa. We can live the rest of our lives like that. Amen. We're not worried about anything. Ain't nothing holding me back. I got my eyes on the Lord.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I'm saying we can be caught up. That's that contemplating His beauty. We can be caught up today. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. The groundwork is Jesus suffered to make people holy through His own blood. His one sacrifice made us perfect once and for all. Gave us a clean slate with God. He suffered and makes us holy through His own blood. We believe that. And His Spirit comes to help us. His Spirit comes, a fire resting upon us, to purify our hearts, to purify our thoughts, our lives. And then verse 15. Here's your strategy to God's making a way. God's doing amazing things. Verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And Susan and I did not discuss the sermon notes when she picked out the music that said, He gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Your strategy to move forward, where God is making a way, where there seems there no... I'm telling you, things are so glorious and wonderful, you don't have to wait to celebrate. You can go ahead and thank God, this is going to turn out great. Your life can be a glorious, shining, love letter, emanating light for others to read. Go ahead and praise Him for it. It's not too hard. Go ahead and thank Him for it. This is your strategy. You can be liberated. You don't have to be weighed down by all kinds of things. And besides all that, God says, give me the sacrifice of praise. You don't have to whine. You don't have to make requests. You don't have to this. You don't have to that. I tell you what, the more difficult and costly it is for you to praise Him, I believe the more sweet it smells. I could be wrong about that. Because if you're just free and you don't care about anything, you're just, oh, I love You, Lord. You're awesome, God. I imagine that's pretty sweet too. But David said, I don't want to give an offering to God unless it costs me. So if it's difficult for you, don't whine about it. You don't need to tell others about it. You praise God.
Amen.
Supernatural will come out of that.
Something
supernatural will come out of that. You choosing to praise God, even if it's costly. You giving God a sacrifice of praise. He's worthy. And it's your own understanding and your own desires that would stop you. But you want to be liberated from the vice of your own understanding. Liberated from the steel vice that crushes of your own will. We're renouncing our own will. I'm renouncing my own understanding. And instead, I want Your will in my life, God, through my life. And He said, I'm coming like a flood. Like a flood that's been pent up and is now loosed. I come. Hallelujah. It's the days of Noah through his children. The Spirit of God flooding the earth to destroy the old fleshly nature so God can be praised. And I bless you. Out of verses 20 and 21, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.